about rent control shows how lame and weak and worthless they are. And as far as I'm concerned, this needs to be indicated to the community that Santa Cruz Action Network has been a joke for at least 10 years. It has not stood up for a single issue of any import and merit and courage. Where were they when the marijuana suppression grant was going down in April of this year? There was none of them there. There was a small group of activists. There was no SCAN representation. SCAN is a total joke, and that's putting it in polite terms.
Well, now,
and it's
surely
time that the community recognize this, particularly the activists in this town.
Surely SCAN members out there, you're not going to take this sitting down, this LaMonica blowhard denouncing you?
SCAN needs to go all the way with gutting the steering committee. They're about halfway there, and there are some nice people on SCAN. But the mere fact that, as far as I'm concerned, I personally could care less about the SCAN endorsement at this point for rent control. They have shown themselves to be worthless, insider operators that want their petty power more than they want to display courage and truth. And the fact that they would even think twice about rent control, I find to be an atrocity, okay? And it's not the first time that I have seen SCAN waffle and weasel. It's a joke, and it's a sad joke that this town has to be publicly represented by the Santa Cruz Action Network as some kind of bastion of activism. It's disgusting, and it's high time that this was pointed out and brought to the public, and that SCAN was brought down to the point where it deserves, which is that it's a bunch of putts, mediocre losers who are in over their head taking anything of a position resembling courage.
Well, listen, thank you, Bob. Let's see if any of those SCAN folks have the backbone to respond to your concerns.
Thank you very much.
And that was the often mellow and sometimes abrasive, but always interesting Bob LaMonica, who has a rent control, rent stabilization initiative, which he and several other people have put together and are circulating to try to get something on the ballot for March that will encourage the city council to tiptoe into the rent control area. Of course, by that time, the entire area will be occupied by Silicon Valley high flyers, so I don't know if it's going to make much difference. Their landlords, in response to Bob's initiative, are raising their rents big time. What we need, of course, is a rent reduction action by the city council rather than some advisory initiative. But I do applaud Bob for doing what he is doing, because at least it is raising the issue in public dialogue. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Robert Norris, and we have 45 minutes of show remaining. We do have a call-in line open at 427-3772 for all of you who have been champing at the bit to say something. Got any ideas about how we can actually fight the drug war here, or should we say end the fighting around the drug war and start doing something where we stop going after ourselves and spending our precious resources in ways that destroy people's lives? I'd love to get some great ideas. I said I've suggested a tabling at the courthouse to simply inform people. I guess it was good news to hear from Tom Belanca, B.E. Smith's attorney, that Boulder, Colorado has done something. I hadn't heard that. I'm still not too clear to me what that's all about. But, hey, if you've got ideas, please call in. Give us your thoughts. Another story from the current issue of the Anderson Valley Advertiser is a letter to the editor talking about 215 from Jim Dodge of Gasquet. Proposition 215, the medical marijuana initiative, was resoundingly passed by California voters in 1996. Now, 3 years later, following the recommendations of a 30-member task force composed of prosecutors, police, and medical marijuana advocates, the Compassionate Use Initiative is moving toward implementation in the form of SB 848. And we'll talk about that after we talk about this next caller here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, I'm calling on behalf of Housing Now in Santa Cruz, and I just wanted to let you know I too am a SCAN member.
Uh-huh.
Even though I agree with some of the things Bob just said, I'm not ashamed of it. And I thought they already did this endorsement for the rent stabilization. What I think they should do is a door knocker like they do for people who run for office. Why don't we get them to do issue door knocker?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have no doubt you can bring that up at the next SCAN meeting.
No, it's not worth going to meetings for. This is a simple thing. Just call one of their co-chairs.
Well,
or David, for that matter. He should know how to get them to actually put the print to the paper.
So perhaps a quick call to David Silva or some of the other
The really valuable thing they can do, which maybe Bob was right, they haven't been doing it as much as they used to for a while, but that's to actually walk the neighborhoods and go door to door. And I don't think we need that with rent stabilization, because as people have noted, it's being widely embraced by people that are tired of trying to get out from between some monster's toes.
Well, you've heard me groaning and moaning about landlords raising rents. What's your experience, Linda? And what is... They're raising them rents.
My visceral experience is that a lot more landlords are being absentee, more than absent, you know, and a lot more landlords are just arbitrary and capricious when they decide what they're going to raise their rent as. And even more important, families who work here and are raising children can't get housing. It's not some special population. It's like the main fabric of our whole society. They can't afford housing if they work here.
So what are we going to do? Wait around till the city council next March starts muttering
about it? No, I think we should go to these Silicon Valley brokers of power and tell them to do their part, too. I think we got to go to UCSC Regents, as distasteful and hard as that is, and tell them to take some responsibility. Rent control is one little part of something that needs to get into drastic crisis gear in this community. You know, everybody's gotten all kinds of federally enhanced dollars because they've been through disasters to the people who need it most.
Well, what about, it seems to me that, again, I continue to be baffled by the idea that it seems to me that if Mike Rodkin favors rent control, but he's afraid to bring it up because he got burned in 1982, thank you very much. But you have three new city council members who supposedly are part of that great progressive cutting edge, Crone, Sugar, and Fitzmaurice. That's a majority. That's four votes for rent control. Now, if the city council has a majority for rent control, and if those of us like Bob and yourself, I think you signed this rent control initiative, right?
Yeah, I helped get it started.
You're one of the three original.
I think Bob should get most of the credit.
Founders.
But yeah, I immediately felt this was an urgency.
Right. Well, if we have, if you believe a majority of the electorate is going to vote for this initiative, then how can the city council credibly believe that it's going to get recalled if it votes for some decent rent control activity now?
I don't think how the city council votes is an important thing. As you may have noticed, when the old mayor left and the new one came in, they can just vote to unvote what they voted at the last meeting. The vote is an abstraction of the community's will.
No, the city council has the power to put into place a rent freeze if it wants.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the competence. Consistently, our city and its city manager are reactionary. You hand them something and they'll either reject it or pass it instantly or mess it up.
They have four votes, and if they want to, at the next council session
in
September,
they can put it on their agenda and save us a lot of
Wait a minute. Even if you pass your initiative, nothing is going to change until the city council takes action anyway.
I want that to be said. That's one aspect of the community. What can be here isn't all on their table. That's just one consideration.
It's not one aspect. They have the power to make the changes, Linda. They are the legislators in our community, unfortunately.
But if, as you say, we have four votes, then we have that power ourselves. We can go in there. It only takes four or five people to create something. Why leave it up to the city just because we think that their voters...
What are you talking about by creating something? What do you mean? Four votes on the city council will change the law.
Like, take rent stabilization, for example. We can go in there describing a vision of how that would work. We don't need to wait for them to pay the city attorney to bastardize every good idea that comes out of this community. I just feel strongly that regular people should have more of a say about it than the vote.
That's fine. The question, however, is why not spend your energy getting the city council to make that change immediately? And I think the best way to do that is to have, 150 renters, camped out at City Hall, saying, particularly the people who've been evicted.
Well, I've camped out with renters, ex-renters, and people that haven't had a house for more than a decade.
Right.
And I don't think parking outside City Hall is any more effective than parking inside City Hall if you don't have the will of the community with you.
Well, I think the way you
I don't think a bunch of landlords that live in Arizona and expect people who are barely feeding their children to support them entirely are a part of that voice. It's people that participate in the same wheel, the same geosphere.
I think you got to bring people together, and I think bringing everybody together at City Hall would be an excellent idea, or some other way. I'm the idea of waiting for a vote in March on a rather nebulous initiative let me finish what I'm saying, that does not mandate any real change at all. Is to me, it's like putting a lot of energy into something when you really want to put energy more directly into pressuring the legislators into doing something.
I don't think it's an either or, Robert.
Okay, good.
We need to go right now and get the back third of the new so-called Peace Center and the whole old phone building where the police are and see that families can get in there and have an access key and aren't riddled with superfluous rules and regulations in order to get their kids off the street.
Again, I'm not quite sure what you're talking about.
I'm saying, see, when I get to it, you cut me off half the time. What I'm saying is, this is a crisis. It's a housing crisis, not just for the guys at the bottom of the economic hierarchy. It's a crisis for everyone, and most people aren't prepared to deal with it. It's not just housing. It's bigger than that. I'm on the phone, guys. Hang up. These are my guests. They, too, are homeless.
Wow. Well, there's a bunch of homeless people around.
You can't just vote and expect anything to happen any more than you just scare people with a bunch of signs and a gathering and expect anything to happen. Everything has to... People need to have a vision that's inclusive about living here. And living here includes not harassing people if they're not paying exorbitant rent, and it includes not depriving people perfectly capable of maintaining their own housing because of some gambling. Real estate has become a form of gambling here.
I guess I'm not clear what exactly you're proposing other than running around with an initiative in your hand. I mean, is there something else that you think we should do?
I'm saying when you deal with a crisis, think about after the earthquake. It's an all-hands-on-deck situation. The firemen are involved. The police dispatch are involved. The media people get in the way in their helicopters, People start reaching out to each other. People find out where the water isn't broken, Well, this is a housing crisis. You do the same thing. We need to activate things that have been passive and reactionary for a long time in all of
society. Please, get specific. Activate what? What are you talking about?
I can't get specific and get my point across, but I can take part of it and talk about it more, like rent control. If we end up with a rent control board that's as moribund as the Civilian Police Review Board, then it's a big waste of time, and you're right, This is not the best way to use anybody's energy. But if it comes from the people who have been being screwed, and I don't mean just tenants, I mean landlords, and even real estate agents who have to pay for their schooling and they can't even sell houses because the people that have been doing it a long time are running faster than them. It's very unfair and it's very fixable. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have room, if you don't give a person their basic rights, give them access to each other, we can't fix it. So which part do you want me to be specific about?
Anything. Hold it. I don't hear any specific proposals for the next 2 months.
You sound like Mike Rutkin.
Thank you. Other than carrying around this initiative which says, gee, let's vote next March to urge the city council to do something about the rents, what do you suggest we do in the next few months? That's what I'm asking. Any particular
suggestions? Well, in your case, help people that you know are homeless find housing, whatever that takes. Take the stories from the people who are getting discriminated against or who are simply priced out of any form of housing, not even a funky old SRO over a bar is available to work in
people. I'm not clear. What are you proposing that we do, all of us in this community do?
I don't think
all
I
of
can
us
be
listening
clearer
to...
right now today.
Okay, well, that's
you
right.
You can't answer everything to everybody listening about something that I'm trying to tell you is a broad, many-faceted,
okay, well, then
typical
let me,
thing.
That's all right. Why don't I wait for another time when
but
you have
But in a context,
more...
there's a lot of specifics.
Sure. Well, when you have those specifics, I'd like to hear them, because I think that's what's important.
I've been telling you them all along.
Right. Well,
yeah.
Again, if you want to summarize some particular things you think people can do out there, I'd like to hear them. And if we want to wait till another time, I'd be happy to do that too.
One of the things that you do well is to take the stories of people who have been mistreated or ostracized in their everyday living. That's really important, but we have to continue to inform each other about our findings.
Anything coming up this week that you want to bring up? I know you're kind of carrying.
There's something
you wear a number of hats, and you're.
Yeah, and they're all dirty at the moment. But I'm speaking metaphorically, of course.
Any meetings or activities
no,
coming up that you want
week,
to tell people about?
Oh, not this week, but next week, the Homeless Issues Task Force will have its initial meeting, I understand. I'm a little worried because one person said she might not be able to be there, but it's at 5:30 and it's planned to be in the ABC room at the Civic, and I think it's really, really important to...
Give the date.
The 18th?
August 18th.
Yeah. And anybody that's had to have conflict about housing or not getting housing, I think should be there if they can.
So you see this Homeless Issues Task Force as a way of kind of mobilizing not just homeless people, but people who are worried about becoming homeless.
Yeah, are people who are at all concerned about the quality and mix of the neighborhoods, too, you know?
Well, it sounds good. That's August 18th, 5:30 in the ABC room of the Civic
yeah.
Auditorium.
I think the first meeting's important, and we might even have a seat to fill that I think should be a homeless person.
Yeah, that's the board, of course, that has given $7,500 to Don Lane to staff.
No, we didn't give it to him. We haven't had any say about
right,
that.
Right, but who has made no protest on this issue to the council members. Have you protested to your council member, Linda? I know you're on that board. Have you said, we don't want to spend $7,500 on a person who's not homeless, who has no particular expertise
no,
on homeless
appointer.
Issues?
I didn't talk to my appointer yet, but I hope to before that meeting.
Oh, good. Well, you better act soon. I think he's already been appointed, but maybe you can, if you all get together and say, how about somebody who really, you know, is worth his salt on this issue and has had some real experience with it rather than a political hack.
I'm worried about getting the information going back and forth that people need, not just a bunch of bureaucratic documents or something that was really meant for the census, but real information about what's happening to people. I think that will help catalyze a higher level of thinking and less reaction.
Right,
but
well, it's hard to catalyze when you got somebody like Don Lane as your filter system, you know, as your staff.
I understand what you're saying. In a way, I agree with you, but it's not the most important thing here. I mean, this board's task force, the city of Venice, has 6 months. 6 months to do something that normally the process, you don't even make your plan until you've been working for a year.
Oh, I have no interest whatsoever in this 6 month thing. I think you have we've known for the last 10 years what needs to be done. This is another attempt to delay people, and the fact that you say they have 6 months is not an advantage.
So what I'm saying
it's
is
a way,
this
it's a way of saying it can be delayed
handicapped.
Another 6 months.
I've never seen them make a task force in this city in 30 years that was handicapped on that timeline. And granted, I'm talking about the sort of bureaucratic and parliamentary ways people have
processing.
Well, maybe
you could, you know,
let that limit.
Linda, you have a knowledge of past Santa Cruz political history. Perhaps you can reassure us that past task forces, or task farces, as I like to think of this one and the previous task force to examine the camping ordinance was, the one that Byers ran and ran into the ground.
Remember that?
Wait a minute. Maybe you have some knowledge of something that these task forces have actually done. Maybe you can give us some hope by saying, well, look at the such and such task force, and give us an indication that they did something, and that we can always hope that your task force on the homeless issues will do something similar. Give us some past examples.
I can't do that for you, Robert, but let me say this other sentence. Do you remember the one, I think it was the Civil Rights or Human Rights Task Force, Jane Yoakum at one point was the chair.
The Human Relations Task Force.
Human Relations Task Force.
Yeah, I remember that task force.
Now, you know, there's a good allegory about how not to go about getting people
right, well, that's
together.
Not really what I'm interested in knowing how not to go about. I'm interested in whether there's any point to this task force, whether it can ever do anything. And, of course, I think I know the answer
before we start. I spend much of my community in
I don't want to argue about it.
You're not arguing. You're not listening either. Listen for a second.
I'm listening.
Much of my personal and community time trying to build and participate with teams of people, and I don't care what kind of format or protocols or too much or too little getting connected goes into it. I just think we come out as a better people when we work as a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's taking over a building,
you can't do that without at least two people. That was doing something. If you guys would take over a building, I'd be very, very happy.
Well, I took
see
over a building, and taking it over was one of the easiest parts of liberating
I'm talking about the Homeless Issues Task Force.
Well,
I'm
you
not
are.
Talking
you're,
about
you're,
you.
You're condemning it before it even meets.
You bet.
So that's your view, you know.
Yeah, sure.
What I'm trying to tell you is where people come together, things can happen that don't happen when they're isolated. And to me, that's one of the fundamental things that guides me in my life.
Well, I'll keep my fingers crossed, and you guys keep your
legs. People
are going
to be allowed to talk about how it is to be homeless in a city that's supposedly wealthy in public. I don't want to be there, whether I'm having a meeting or just trading stories or, as you have spearheaded, just getting the soup ready. You know, we need to do more getting together. And if you think talk isn't a part of the whole process of
I love talk. I'm a talk radio man to begin with, you know. I'm a big talker. But talk is one thing and action is another. And when the city is funding some clown to lead a talking session,
I didn't pick that funding.
That really pisses me off.
I didn't pick that funding. But if I did, I'd give myself at least the fucking cost it takes to go participate in that. And I think that should be how every advisory board is in this city. It shouldn't be an impediment or something that fucks your life up to participate in city government.
Let's wait then. I will be happy to see what we will be seeing what you do, whether we like it or not. So I wish you luck.
Well, you should already
have
an idea of what I do.
Is there anything more you want to mention before we leave? Because I have to move on to the next segment of this show here.
Yeah, the 18th at 5:30. The more people, the better, and the more likely that the kind of things you want will happen.
Mm-hmm. Okie doke. Well, that's Linda LeMaster talking about the upcoming Homeless Issues Task Force, or Task Farce, as I call it, at 5:30 Wednesday, August 18th.
That's Robert talking about the farce.
At the ABC room of
the
Civic Auditorium. Thank you, Linda, and hope to talk to you again. If people want more information, can they give you a call? You want to lead a little kind of...
Yeah, but if I'm not there, leave me a way to get back to you.
Okay, your phone number is...
423-HOME, that's 423-4663.
Alrighty. Well, thank you very much, Linda.
If you want to... rent control and you're a city voter, get in touch with me or meet at the thing that Bob leads on Saturdays at 3 p.m. every Saturday at the Java House.
Yeah, for rent control, 3 p.m. every Saturday at the Java House, downtown, the Java House Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And Linda's number is 423-4663 if you want to have input into the Homeless Issues Task Force.
Well, show up if you want to have input at the first meeting.
All right. Well, thank you, Linda.
Bye.
Bye-bye. With us, community activist Jane Bear. Hi, Jane.
Hi.
And Jane, you, I know Phil was at the May 22nd protest to end the war in Yugoslavia, which was protesting Representative Farr, the Democratic Party's sort of fundraiser, and you were there as well, I believe.
Yes.
Which they were raising money just as bombs were falling over Belgrade. And, of course, Farr had supported every single vote for bombing at that time. In fact, really continued to do so, with the exception of, I guess he wanted a 3-day pause or something. But there was a lot of
loud, raucous, but not violent protest to dramatize what was happening to people over in Kosovo and in Serbia. And an incident occurred wherein police took a woman to the patrol van, and she was held there, and they wouldn't tell folks what she was being held for. It turned out later they thought that she had held a boombox with sounds of the war inside the sacred FAR dinner memorial, or the fundraiser dinner. And folks were enraged. They surrounded the van. They demanded to know what the charges were, and police after that began arresting them, some of them, and menacing, in two instances, parents with their children. And of course, out of this came charges against the Santa Cruz Five. And Steve argued one of the Santa Cruz Five was charged with the most serious charges of felony assault on a police officer for using what he considered necessary force to stop a police officer from hurting a woman with a child, Officer LeFevre. You saw some of this, and I believe you were interviewed by the police, Lieutenant Sapone, is that right?
That's correct. The Internal Police Department investigation. Of course, I did not see the alleged hitting of the policeman. What I witnessed was the Kylene being...
That's the woman inside the van who was being held inside the van for boombox crime.
Yes, I saw her being whisked away from the door area of the McPherson, and it kind of shocked me because she hadn't been disturbing anyone's peace in a disruptive manner that I had ever noticed or knew previously in her protest against the war. So that was real shocking to people, because before then, the background to it was, before then there had been some sit-ins at
Representative Farr's office.
Farr's office, at which time the Sheriff's Department had arrested people, but they had given plenty of notice and explained the procedures and given people the opportunity to leave who did not wish to be arrested. And so that comparatively it was very orderly. And the people involved, most of them, I'd say the majority, were first-time protesting, or at least first-time protesting something as serious as military action by the United States government, so that they were unaware that they could even be arrested without this prior
warning
mm-hmm. by law enforcement officers. And so it came as a feeling something had taken place that was nothing like anybody had experienced before, and there was a feeling like what was going on, and from the protesters, I among them, viewpoint, what happened when she was whisked into the patrol car was people just surrounded it and wanted to know what she was being arrested for and what was going on. And
into the patrol wagon, you mean?
Yes. Uh-huh. And from the police viewpoint, this chanting of "let her go" was apparently a trigger to them feeling like it was a quote situation that they needed to...
Well, let me ask you this, Jane. A lot of us decided... we went to the police review board, the Citizens Police Review Board, which actually is sort of a toothless wonder, which for 5 years has done no independent investigations and held no hearings, no public hearings. And instead what it does, it sort of peers over the shoulders of the police department after they do their own investigations on themselves, sort of the fox and the chicken coop approach, or the person slapping himself on the wrist for being a bad boy or a bad girl or whatever. And we decided, many of us decided, that we didn't want to cooperate with a police department investigation unless there was an independent investigation. And after much pressure, for the first time in Santa Cruz history, an independent investigation was voted on by the Citizens Police Review Board, and I guess they're going to hire this woman, Diane Christensen, probably next week at the Monday CPRB Citizens Police Review Board meeting at 5:30 at City Hall. They're going to be discussing it a bit, but I think pretty much a decision has already been made. But nonetheless, I know Lieutenant Cipone came up to me and Steve Argue and Becky Johnson as we were near the police station and said to us, wanted to interview us about the event. And I told her that I wasn't sure that I wanted to do that, that I would have to talk to other people about it.
Interrupting this interview with Jane Beer, wanted to add that Lieutenant Cipone had a tape recorder with her that she did not announce she was recording us. She simply had it in her hand. And it's interesting, I was reading a case the other day of an individual who's actually convicted in another state for recording a police officer without them being aware that it was happening. But Lieutenant Cipone did not inform either Steve Argue, myself, or Becky Johnson that she was tape recording what we were saying. That's called eavesdropping in terms of federal law. And it seems, when I carry my tape recorder, it's really obvious that I'm tape recording. Perhaps she felt it was obvious too, but I think from a police officer, it's really important that the officer, to maintain her credibility in the community, really clarify what she's doing. She did not do that with us. Continuing this interview with Jane Beer, which was recorded earlier this morning.
Concerned with the internal affairs process, that is to say the police investigating themselves instead of having an independent investigation, was not really appropriate, plus the fact that there were charges pending against five people, and what we said in that investigation could presumably be used in court against those five people if the police wanted to do that, and I didn't really want to be in a position to give the police additional evidence for what I think was kind of a provoked incident that was completely or largely unjustified. So we, of course, apparently didn't get the word out to you and Phil because you didn't know that there had been a decision made, at least for some of us, and that we thought that cooperating with the police in this matter was not wise. But you did go in, you talked to Lieutenant Cipone, the two of you, were you together or were you interviewed separately?
Interviewed separately, and so I have no idea what Phil Bear's interview was, but I think part of it was we did not realize that would be a problem, and also that for one, did not witness the alleged incident with Steve Argue hitting the police.
What kind of questions did Lieutenant Cipone ask you?
And we are listening to an interview earlier this morning with Jane Beer, who was interviewed by Lieutenant Cipone on the May 22nd incident. But we have a caller here, and I'd like to give priority to folks who are live. David Silva on the line. Hi, David.
I'm live.
He's live, and he's.
I'm just a little annoyed with you, Robert. I think the way you treated Linda Lemaster when she was trying to talk about the rent control, rent, whatever you want to call it, stabilization
initiative.
Board, you know, democratically elected board by the people. I just think that, you know, to undermine it and to say that it's meaningless and it's hopeless and so forth really isn't the kind of agitational politics you should be doing, and to be constantly interrupting her and telling her to be specific, it sounded all kind of like personal grudge, probably like the same kind of personal grudge you have against Don Lane, because I don't think what you were saying about Don Lane was substantive at all.
Well, may I reply to that?
Well, of course, it's free radio.
Hey, thank you. Well, first of all, I would love to see, although I have my doubts about the effectiveness of a rent control board, but I'd rather see a board than nothing at all, although Linda had some interesting concerns that this not just be a toy poodle thing, and I think you have those same concerns.
Oh, yeah.
But it does
have to come out of a bunch of town hall meetings, and it does have to be, she made a very good point when she's saying it's not just affecting the lower 2% or 10%, it's affecting, you know, the housing crisis, citywide crisis. So we have to have all those people, the university impact people, those little widows that have little granny units that they rent out, I mean, they all have to be considered. And that's what this type of initiative allows. So I don't understand what your criticism is of her, not being specific.
Well, my criticism was that the initiative itself is, you know, I mean, I like to see people weigh in favor of some kind of action on rent control, but I guess I was contrasting the energy that we would put into circulating the petitions. And I think it's good to raise the issue. I think it's great that it got the Good Times coverage it did this week. But I think, you know, if, as I said before, if we have three city council members newly elected who are supposedly to the left, and then Mike Rodkin, who, you know, prides himself as being Mr. Socialist, I'm just wondering if there isn't a way of more directly taking the issue to the city council for a specific
action. Can I answer that question?
Sure.
I think the problem with it having it come from the board down upon the people is that the backlash will end up giving you a much watered down version. I think if you have something that comes from the people to the city council, then the city council puts the first rent stabilization board in place, then the rent stabilization board is democratically elected by the people, just as the city council members are themselves. I think then you're going to have a formula that is sort of, you might say, tailored for Santa Cruz. We can't take a rent control ordinance that applies in practically any other city and have the kind of composition of problems that we have here and impose it upon our city. And you would want the city council to do that?
Well, I guess what I'm looking for, I mean, I haven't looked over a particular rent control initiative, although I've, you know, got sort of a vague walking knowledge of a number of other cities. But I know, for example, that TRUSC, Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, has made a number of proposals to City Council about renter protections. And I assume that in that mass of protections, I don't know if they actually include rent control, they may, but certainly there's a number of positive proposals that are, in fact, specifically tailored to Santa Cruz.
Eviction protection ordinances or eviction protection sections of ordinances and so forth are very important to rent stabilization. Mm-hmm. If you don't have eviction protection, you're not going to have rent stabilization. I agree with you.
Right, and I think that they have worked on this long enough and hard enough and specifically enough to bring it directly to city, TRUSC, Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, to bring it directly to the city council. If the city council is interested, I'm not saying that it wouldn't also be good, you know, to have a kind of a plebiscite from the people saying. But
it's going to be a series of phases, yeah. Robert. You just watch. I mean, there's going to be you know, the landlords are going to start blaming the initiative for evictions. Then they're going to start blaming the ballot, you know, evictions. And during that whole process, first we have to start with the landlords for rent control. There is actually a group. They need to put out the call for a moratorium on rent raises, and we're going to have to have some demonstrations. We're going to have a call for the city council at some point. Things are going to get out of hand. The city council is going to have to be ready to step forward and do a rent freeze. If they don't do a rent freeze, then this initiative drive will have organizers for a rent strike, Robert.
Excellent. But now that's what I'd like to hear there, David.
Well, that's the process.
Nobody's been talking that way. I mean, I haven't heard
that
from
Bob. I've been talking to Bob that way, and Bob, you know, Bob's taking one end of it, I'm taking another end of it, and we're all taking different ends of it. But, you know, I see this as a whole part of a process. And the fact that it doesn't define what rent control is a blessing, because that means that then it comes from the people rather than it being imposed and there being backlash and there being all that sort of stuff. I know it's not going to be easy, Robert, but I would hope that you would not attack Linda and make her sound stupid or you know, like she doesn't know what she's talking about. I just put the personal stuff aside.
I don't regard Linda as stupid at all, and I think she's full of very good ideas.
Specific interruptions that you were doing was, you
right.
Know,
well,
I was
in fact looking for, you know, some specific proposal, you know, that we could do in the interim while waiting. I mean, and you're making some very specific things that I would, you know, that I'm sympathetic with. You're fleshing out, and I'm sure she may agree with you on many of this.
Yeah, we've talked about it. We've all talked about it.
And I didn't mean to rattle her, and I didn't mean to make her appear stupid. And I don't think
she's pretty used to it. It's pretty strong, but I don't like hearing it on the air that too much.
Uh-huh.
But it's not like you weren't letting her do or say what she really wanted to say. And
she's welcome to call back if she wants to say.
Yeah, because you guys went off onto then you went off the Homeless Issues Task Force, which, you know, is for you, the Homeless Issues Task Force, and anything that came out of last December 8th will continue to be a farce for you, I'm sure. But I think that the composition of the task force is extremely encouraging.
Tell me about it.
It's the composition that I'm concerned about, not who the city manager appoints to facilitate, and do the Xeroxing, which includes Laura Tucker.
Well, give us some encouraging words.
Well, I think it's a very broad-based group of people that represent businesses, that represent the faith community, that represent agencies, that represent the communities most impacted, and I would say, pretty safely say 80% of them are for complete, you know, doing away with the sleeping ban. So I think that's a pretty nice composition.
Mm-hmm. So I know that you yourself have chosen not to apply for this task force, or
yeah, I'm going to be there at every meeting. I work better as an agitator.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, at the time that, you know, these applications opened back in the end of March, 11th of April, I was fighting with the Downtown Neighborhood Association. I had a Flashpoint kind of name. I didn't want my Flashpoint name to ruin this task force.
Mm-hmm.
That simple. But I will be there.
Mm-hmm.
Every meeting.
Well, what I know, we some of us have been, you know, pondering what the first actions of this task force should be, and I guess Linda's sort
well,
of linked
we filed
it up with
a,
rent,
yeah,
rent
we
control,
filed,
you know.
We filed a, I think endorsing the rent control thing would be great. We filed a, the final writing version of the new initiative to repeal the sleeping ban. I would like to see that task force send that to the city council immediately.
Hmm. So now this
just to get it out of the way.
This new initiative to repeal the sleeping ban is somewhat different than the one last year, right?
Yeah, it did take into consideration the Harvey West neighborhood by allowing them to regulate residential areas within industrial zones. We didn't have that before. It also eliminates the downtown business section. We didn't have that before. That's, you know, now regulatable. And it also gives, but it also gives more time to pack up your stuff and move to a safe sleeping zone,
mm-hmm.
Which we didn't.
So this
really
is actually
well
this actually now been it's been filed with the city clerk.
Yeah,
and
absolutely
city
now, absolutely, finally filed.
So now it has 6 months to get 3,900 signatures as an initiative.
Or the city council can take the recommendation of the task force and put it on.
And that is your hope.
Yeah, or just even do the ordinance itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a very important hope because I continue to hear of sleeping tickets in spite of.
And please, Robert, you know, if you can funnel those people and those the names of people and so forth to the task force, I know you do a yeoman's job at that, and you're really great at that. Continue to do that. The most important thing is for us to be able to you know, to fight them with facts, because we still have Rodkin, just, you know, rewriting history.
Not to mention Byers.
I don't know if you'd call her rewriting history. I have no comment at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, now you also, David, have been associated a lot with a very high profile, hot button issue, the hate crime initiative.
Now, isn't that funny? That would be such a big deal.
Well, I think it certainly is a media opportunity to get the issue of what isn't often regarded as hate crimes, namely attacks on homeless people, before the public, even if, and I'll say it again, I don't think putting signs up around city limits is particularly significant, but I think that raising...
You don't think neighborhood watch signs make some neighborhoods safer?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
But, you know, they certainly make me more uncomfortable when I walk through those neighborhoods, I'll tell you.
It'd be nice if this city was safe enough for the victims to at least come forward, and trying to create safe spaces is part of the problem that we're putting... What does Hate Free Zone Initiative does is really just puts the question before the people. It doesn't proscribe or prescribe anything. There's no design.
I'm not critical of you for it.
I answer questions all. I'm sort of like, I got tapes that run automatically as soon as you hit the buttons. Go ahead, Robert.
If you can get Australia to, you know, to endorse your initiative and get you know, get space in the Melbourne Press or whatever, as I heard you did.
Yeah, London Times too.
Yeah, it's good, particularly if you can, you know, draw it back to the fact that Catherine Byers and the City Council and the Homeless Issues Task Force members, who have not yet made any statements whatsoever,
they have not met yet.
It doesn't matter. They know the issue is available, and they could have press statements. But they could have had it a month and a half ago if they'd wanted issue of the beatings of homeless people.
Appointed piddly by piddly. There's no way there's even been a body yet.
Well, I think people concerned about this issue, as you have done, on the around the sleeping ban and around hate crimes and around
I strongly believe that the sleeping sections of the camping ordinance of this city is an institutional hate crime, and
right.
That issue is going to be faced.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just aware, and this is not a critical of you. This is critical of the city council. You know, and I'm skeptical of half measures. I know that you are a master at using existing avenues for squeezing something out of these. You know, when you have lemons, you make whatever you can, and however sour the lemonade
is. We got rid of five misdemeanors this past year, huh?
Yeah.
Big deal.
What's that?
The misdemeanor section, yeah.
You're pointing out for our audience that isn't aware of it, that you were able, on the case of sleeping and covering up with blankets, to remove that as a misdemeanor section from the sleeping ordinance, although camping remains a misdemeanor if done twice within 24 hours. But it should be pointed out that's never been charged except in protest cases, and I'm almost sure that it's never, ever been brought to trial in any cases.
Yeah, I don't know about being brought to trial, but there have been a 4 or 5 a year. I got that from the police.
But in any case, I think that if you continue to do it a bite at a time, provided you don't lose your teeth as you try to do it, I say right on. Any meetings coming up this week that you want to let people know about?
But yeah, I just want to continue to let people know that every single Thursday, from now until November 12th, in front of City Hall, during the lunch hour from 12 to 1, I'm handing out hate free zone initiatives and picking up the ones that you've had filled out. We do have coming up a few what we're calling hate-free weekends, which is an opportunity for other petitions, by the way, and not completely firmed yet. Looks like the Veterans Hall is firm for the 28th of August. This will be our first hate-free weekend, and what we're going to do is have a concert and just try to get an army of petition carriers just to go all in one sweep and just sweep the town that weekend. That weekend, do the same thing the second week of October when the students are back.
You'll be doing that with the institutional hate crime, the sleeping ban repeal thing.
The sleeping ban repeal initiative will be with that. Yeah.
That sounds good.
We invite the rent control people to come along, but it will be a hate-free concert. It's going to be a mixture of street musicians and we're hoping to have a black choir. Pretty sure we have that firmed, and also the gay choir. Should be a pretty good event. Keep your eyes open. We'll have the flyers out soon. We're having a meeting this afternoon to finalize things. Looks like we have the Sentinel on board.
You want to give out a meeting time or a phone number for people to call who want to be a part of that?
If you want to volunteer for the Hate Free Initiative, Hate Free Zone Initiative, you can call the Green Party number and give your name, 425-4499.
425-4499 to volunteer to help with the Hate Free Zone Initiative.
And thank you, Robert. You've taken this criticism quite well.
Amen.
I called up specifically to criticize you. You know I love you.
All right. Well, thank you, David.
Okay, Robert.
And anything else you want to add?
No. Keep on. The struggle continues. La lucha continua.
Oui.
Okay.
Au revoir.
Bye.
And the struggle continues, and the phone calls just keep on a.